Hey, what's up, everybody? You're about to listen to the second episode of my podcast. Hope you enjoy.
Welcome to the Seth Markson Podcast.
But I say, what have you achieved today? Every day, you should do something that takes you a step further towards what you want to do. Every day, without question.
That was the voice of Elizabeth Blake Thomas, Hollywood director. Also, half of the mother and daughter team taking the world by storm, quoted by her daughter, Isabella Blake Thomas, a Hollywood actress. Since 2016, Elizabeth has directed 9 feature films, 6 of which are finished or in post-production, one of which I'm in. It's called Sand Angels, and you should see it when it comes out. It's awesome. And then the 3 others are still being worked on. Isabella, as an actress, is taking the entertainment world by storm. She plays young Zelina on ABC's hit show Once Upon a Time. She also just came out with her first single as a singer-songwriter. Today we dive into what it really takes to be a Hollywood director and a Hollywood actress. I hope you enjoy.
What is going on, you two?
What isn't going on?
Oh, it's just a beautiful semi-cloudy day in Southern California.
It's not very often that it's like this, but when it is, actually you can embrace it. Because I wore my wellies yesterday.
For those of you who don't understand the word wellies, it's a Wellington boot, a rain boot.
Oh, okay. I was completely lost. I'm not going to lie.
Most people are. I said, I've got my wellies on. They're like, what the heck is that?
Oh, my gosh. But it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to wear those.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. Let's embrace it when it's like that.
Of course.
So I don't mind. You put a sweater on. We call it a jumper. I mean, the whole dialogue changes when it rains for British people.
It is.
We have our own words, don't
completely.
We?
Completely.
Do you prefer it? Is the rain like what you prefer or?
Well, I do know a lot of people who like the rain.
No.
I do know. I know a lot of people who, even if they're not necessarily from England, but they're from a rainy place, they miss the rain moving over here. And I'm like, no, I want the sun. I lived enough in the rain. I don't like rain.
No.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's almost like why everyone moves to California, right?
Yeah.
It's so beautiful out here.
The thing is, the British people are obsessed with the weather. It is one of the first things I talk about. In fact, on my phone, I have every single place that I've been to, and I know what weather it is. And I would call my mum and say, oh, you've only had 56 degrees today, or 41 degrees. And also, my dog doesn't like the rain.
No.
She doesn't like going out in the wet.
No, she hates it. She'll stand at the front door, and even if my mum's walking out to go to the car, the dog really wants to follow her, but she'll wait if it's raining. She won't risk it. She doesn't
like getting wet. Great dog. You know, they always have the best senses. That's what they tell us. So where are you from in Europe?
Well, we're both from, we're from different places.
Yeah,
because,
true.
I was born in near the centre of England. Well, I was born on the East Coast in Suffolk, lived in the centre of England and moved to London. And then actually that's where you were born. So you're a London gal.
I am actually. That sounds cool to say that.
It does.
I was born in a place called Tooting, which is a very unfortunately named place. But that's where I was born.
Oh, wow. And how long were you in England, and then when did you kind of move over here?
Well, I think we lived there till I was
about 10 years, 11
years.
Yeah,
till I was about 10, and then we moved here when I was 11, and that's when we got our little beach cottage.
Oh, man. I can imagine that transition going from London, where it's pretty cold.
Mm.
It's very cold, but you do have beautiful springs, beautiful summers, to coming here and essentially there's no winter.
This is true.
Yeah, the seasons are different here, but you know, it's what's so lovely was when I go back to England and I'm supposed to have a coat, I go, no, I don't have one anymore because I live out here, I don't need it.
Yeah.
So when Isabella shot in Vancouver, when we went up there, it was cold, it was January, I had to buy a coat because I'd forgotten that you needed one because you just don't need it out here.
Oh, speaking of Vancouver, a little funny anecdote. I was filming Once Upon a Time, and it was 2016, the beginning of it, and I had to fly up to meet my mum because she was already up there. And I was packing my clothes, and I was doing so well, and I got up there, and I hadn't packed any clothes because I'd taken the clothes out of my drawer, but I'd put them on the floor and not actually put them in my suitcase. So we had to go and buy me a bunch of clothes because I hadn't packed anything.
Yeah, it's true. It is true.
And yeah, it's just kind of comes with the territory when you're living out here. You just don't have any cold gear.
Yeah. Nothing. I've got my Uggs. I enjoy putting my Uggs on. Mm.
They're so versatile though.
Yeah,
it's true.
Those Uggs, you know, you could flaunt those in the summer if you really wanted to.
Yeah, I think so. Wear them with a pair of shorts.
Of course.
Is that what you do, Seth?
And for winter, they have this waterproof spray that you can put on them.
Oh,
so
really?
They don't get, so you can
do
wear
you
them
work
in
for
rain.
Ugg?
No, yeah, but right. I love my
hey,
Uggs.
Plug right
yeah,
here.
Yeah, exactly. Plug the Ugg. No, she makes me spray mine. I don't bother. Yeah, no, we are obsessed with the weather. We're also, I think, everyone thinks we're obsessed with beer. We're not. Mm-hmm. Although coming out here, what my mentor actually is obsessed with IPAs, which I didn't know what that was, Indian Pale Ale. And and I have now tried quite a few. Still don't like them. but there's a couple of good places that I've gone to, but it's very different to a British pub. So I don't like British pubs. Mm. I don't like Irish pubs either. Sorry, everybody out here. But I like going to these little places that you guys have where they do these IPAs. There's a place called McLeod's. I will plug that because it's quite a cool place. Up in Van Nuys. It's like in the middle of a warehouse. And you see how they make all the IPAs. I love that. It's so cool.
Yeah, the ability to see the whole process is pretty amazing when it comes to beer making.
Yeah.
You know, and side note. The last thing that I thought I was ever going to talk to you about today was making beer, but this just took a crazy turn and I'm loving it.
So, well, because I love those little tasters that you get, the mini ones.
Oh, they're so good.
I wouldn't know. I'm still under 18.
Well, it's true. And over here, you have to be 21. Over 21 anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, I have to say, I am a champagne drinker, so I do like that. I'm not a fan of, I love going up and visiting the wineries. That's cool. But just the people that are at these little breweries, microbreweries, they're so kind. They're so inviting. And this one place that I you know, mentioned, you go up there and you can play darts and dominoes. And it's just really cool.
Yeah, we on the West Coast in particular, the way we make our IPAs, our beer, and the atmospheres that we're able to give people, it's just...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anywhere else that has that. There's something about the hops that come from Washington mm-hmm. and up north. It's just, it's incredible.
It is. It's unique. Mm-hmm. It's a unique experience that I hadn't ever experienced or been exposed to. And then because my mentor's obsessed and his son is obsessed, he's shown me this new world. As I said, I don't really like the flavor, but I'll try them all.
That's so funny. Well, let's jump into entertainment and your involvement and everything that both of you do in the entertainment world. I mean,
okay. Well, should we plug our play first? Because I'm actually, as you know, Seth, a film director, but I'm actually directing a play at the moment, and that's happening in Hermosa Beach. In it's 2 weeks' time. It's fun for all the family. Light-hearted about a British boarding school. So I've got all these American actors working on their British
accents.
And it's
called Daisy Pulls It Off.
It is. Daisy Pulls It Off. Daisy Pulls It Off. Do you like our little duo here?
Yeah, absolutely. Are you kidding?
Does anybody know who we are, how we're connected?
They should, but if they don't...
Mother and daughter.
Exactly.
Mother and daughter team taking the world by storm.
Yeah, so we've worked together, obviously, from, you know, when she first started coming to my drama lessons, when I used to teach those, she was a tiny little thing. And then as especially women in this industry, I just think it's been really important to embrace that for her at this age. And she's homeschooled, so therefore she has just joined in with everything from producing, directing, writing. So the play is a fun aspect of what we're doing right now because it's just about being creative.
Mm-hmm.
And then the films are obviously, you know, what Isabella does professionally and what I do from a standpoint of being a professional director. But the creative aspects, entertainment, I mean, it embraces everything. I feel like anything we do, whether it's a writing, I've got a book out, whether we're painting, whether she's writing her songs,
mm-hmm.
it embraces it all.
Yeah, in February, on the 1st, I released my first single because I'm a singer-songwriter, and it meant a lot because all my songs are really personal to me because they're all about experiences I've gone through. And to see people actually listen to my song and enjoy it was an incredible experience, and being able to be fortunate enough to do that. And I'm so lucky that my mum has been able to help me get to that point where I can do that. And I hope to be able to continue to do that in the future.
So there's so many questions that come from that. You know, what's most inspiring about working with your mom day in and day out and really having her there, what do you get to pick from her every single day?
My beauty.
Hands down.
Sorry. Carry on, Isabella. Carry on, sorry.
Hands down, I'd say the fact that she loves what she does, and to be able to see that kind of reminds me that when you love what you do, people can tell and you can tell. And when she's in her element, as it were, when she's directing, it just comes so naturally to her. And it teaches me that when things come naturally to you, just go for it, because you only live once and you may as well try everything.
I like this little book of anecdotes, Isabella. You should write your own anecdote. You only live once.
Right, like literally, tell us how to live, what we should do, because you're living it. This is so cool in the sense that you do get to work on films, mm-hmm. and then you get to produce your own music. In fact, what's it like for you when you have a script and you are kind of, you have to say certain things versus when you're creating a song and working on music, when the door is wide open and you're able to just do what you want?
So with a script, I write scripts as well, and I love writing movies and TV shows because I get to, it sounds funny, but to control the characters, in that when I always write stuff for myself so that I'm in it, because it's all about that nowadays and you can do that. And I know that if there's something that I feel in my personal life, I can put that into the script. So when I get to that point as the character, as long as I'm feeling that emotion, I can stay on that track. Now, when it's someone else's script that I'm learning and becoming this character that I don't necessarily know as well, I find that more of a challenge, but in a good way, in that I can create this new person that nobody knows about, and I can give them little traits that make them human and make them real. So when I'm speaking those lines that the writer has written and bringing them to life, it's almost as if I'm writing them like a song, because it comes so naturally when you become that person.
Got it.
Wow. Good answer, Boo. I love listening to it. Oh, yeah, I called her Boo because that's her nickname. It's so funny. I forget that sometimes. People go, who? Who?
Listen, we're only going to refer to you as Boo from now on in this entire podcast and so forth.
Yeah. Oi. Yeah.
Right. Well, so Elizabeth, kind of same question, because since 2016, I think it's been 9 films.
That is correct.
That you've been working on.
Well, it's 6 that I've made. But yes, there are those 3 others that are in pre-production that I'm working on, yeah.
Okay, so with that being said, obviously you are just working day in, day out, and you're literally making these films. What drove you to do that?
Oh, Seth, that's a good question. My insanity. I think the thing is, as Isabella kind of pointed out, it's my passion. So something in me is there that's something that you can't fake. It's telling stories. And I love telling those stories in any way possible. So it is through the writing. It is through coming up with ideas. I am always inspired by something, and I just want to tell those stories. So the 6 films that I've actually made and completed are all different genres. I mean, again, I'm not pigeonholing myself into something. And the next films are things that I think about that might be true stories, or something I've read about that Isabella could play the lead in. But the core of it is just something that is there naturally. I am inspired every day by the fact that I can get up, write something, make something, and affect somebody, whatever level that is. And I think the tenacity of it, again, is something that maybe has come from my upbringing. Maybe it's naturally there. Who knows if it's nature versus nurture. But I have a tenacity to just do it anyway. So even if someone had said to me, this isn't possible, I'm not going to give you any money, I'd have used my iPhone. I'd have made a film anyway. In fact, Isabella and I are working on another project, which nobody knows about, because we're just working on it together. We're going to shoot it very differently. Our budget is our budget. She's in it. And I'm just directing it and we're just taking our time and I'm doing something different because it's about being creative. It's not about the money for me. Of course, that's nice. You need to pay your bills. You know, everybody needs to do that. But creativity is something deeper.
And I kind of want to go back into what you were saying, where this all stemmed from. When did you know that this is what you wanted to do and that creative spark just ignited within you and you're like, this is it. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm focusing on.
Well, I think I've always done it, but in a very different ways. I just hadn't realized that this job existed. You know, I'm from England. None of my family are in this industry. A very normal upbringing with the school, you know, an all-girls school. They didn't even have drama. We have an exam called a GCSE when you're 16. They didn't even do drama GCSE. It just wasn't something that existed. You know, you became a vet or a lawyer or a doctor. So I think throughout my life, whether it was because I trained startups, taught drama, ran a theatre company, I wrote my own books, children's books, when I was 19. I wanted to be a head teacher. All of those jobs that I enjoyed, even being a mum, actually, what you're doing is being a director. But I just hadn't realised it was in film that I would flourish. Because everything else is about taking that lead, multitasking, involving everybody. I'm just a director every day. Just means I'm bossy, really.
Since 2016, you have been working on 9 films.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I don't sleep, Seth.
I'm the one with the sleeve. I sleep a solid 12 hours each night.
Yeah, it's true. That's how I can work. So I put her to bed and then I work all night.
It's you and Chai getting all the sleep. Yeah. And then Elizabeth, you're just working night and day and then just
exactly.
Going after it.
Yeah, no, Chai. I know, you're right. It is crazy. It is. But I think, again, that's something important. It hasn't just happened because I've sat there and gone, oh, I'd like to do this. I do work flipping hard. I do. You know, there's no denying it. Even when I'm sitting, you know, today I'm leaving here. I'm going straight to a meeting. I mean, you know, I was even texting you going, so I can do this time to this time. But I want to do it. So you make it happen. I've got a meeting after this. I'm then going to see my mentor to have feedback on the film. I've then got another meeting straight after that. I'm dropping props off with someone. You know, and that's a quiet day. So also throughout that, my head then sits there and goes, okay, I've got an idea. I'll write that down. My alarms on my phone are filled with just ideas, one-liners, words, anything that comes to me. I mean, yesterday we went to my favourite place, which is the Chateau Marmont, and I go there and I sit and I work, and I have people that come for meetings. So and you came with me yesterday, yeah. Didn't you? So I had every hour, on the hour, just new people turning up. And they could have been actors, they could have been producers, there was a girl from the British Film Commission. It's just constant work. But it doesn't feel like work, because I love it.
That's incredible. And where has some of this work led you? And like, what are some of the, not just, this is a question for both of you, actually. So through doing this, you know, you never know what will happen.
Oh, yeah. No, you never know.
I feel like, is it reasonable to say that when you are chasing your passion, that you never know where that will take you?
But that's why you must never do it, because you're thinking it's going to take you somewhere. Mm-hmm. You just can't. If I thought each day the people I was going to meet, the things I were going to do were going to lead me to somewhere, I didn't know by being introduced to you that you were going to end up in a film, that I was going to end up on your podcast. Nobody can predict that. And you do things because you're a good person. And I think that is what I live by. And I try to teach Isabella that. I was on the Law of Attraction radio in Atlanta with this wonderful woman called Constance. It's actually coming out next Sunday. And we were talking about doing things because you just want to and they feel right. And that's a really important aspect. Nobody knows what's going to happen out there. I mean, I know we say this as a joke. I could get knocked over by a bus tomorrow. And I don't know where these terrible bus drivers are. But I could leave here and get knocked over a bus. But you know what? I'd be very happy, because I have done and I am doing what I want to do. And so I can't remember what your question was. I've gone off on a tangent.
Just to add on to that, there's the saying, which is, I think if I can get it
Welcome
exactly
to Isabella's
right.
Book of Anecdotes.
Yeah. It's on a, on your tombstone, you don't want it to say, she had a nice, calm, quiet life. You want it to say, what was it?
There is the rude version.
No.
She fell in here this running is exhausted.
Yeah, it's something like that. Slid into the grave.
We want
exhausted.
The real version here. Come on now.
Well, I think it is. It definitely has got the word, can I swear?
Oh, wow.
Can I? Is it not swear words?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, absolutely.
Okay.
Go ahead.
It's definitely got the word shit in, I think. Because it's like she ran into the grave. I can't even remember. It's a good one.
She tumbled into the grave saying, shoot, that was a long ride.
Oh, yeah, something like that. But the version that's for the over 18s. And that's important. I don't want to die all happy and healthy. I want to be healthy. But then you wouldn't be dying, would you? You're probably unhealthy if you're dying. But I want to know that I've made a difference and done something. And that's what I say to Isabella. In fact, when I was in Romania last year, because I was researching for the film I just shot, I was travelling around the orphanages. And in those orphanages, they're definitely better than they were because that was the point of this charity, to shut them down and help the young people there. But I kept messaging Isabella every day saying, you make the most of your day. You know how lucky you are today. I mean, after a week, she must have been totally fed up with me. But I say, what have you achieved today? Every day, you should do something that takes you a step further towards what you want to do. Every day, without question. Here endeth the lesson.
I feel like this is a book of anecdotes from, from both of you. This is fantastic.
I don't want to sound too preachy, because believe me as well, that's the other thing. Do you know what? It's flipping hard. It's flipping hard. Yeah. Not sitting here saying, yes, I've just left my Malibu castle and my chef is preparing my lunch and my driver will be collecting me in about an hour. No, I'm driving, I'm cooking. I mean, I don't really cook.
I cook.
Yeah. But you know, you work hard.
Of course. Mm-hmm. On that note, question to both of you. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth directing, Isabella acting.
Yes.
I know what I put in when I get a... when I get a character and when I get a script and I'm going to be in a film, play, any production. I know the research that goes into that. But when you're directing a film or when you get a role, what's the process for you?
Well, mine's a quick answer. So I'll do mine and then do yours. Yeah. Because for me, it's when I'm writing that, it's because it's come from something that I know about. So I, at the moment, I'm not writing films maybe about boxing because I have never boxed. I don't understand boxing. I don't need to. I've written movies about a road trip with a father-daughter relationship. My next movie is about, based on my book, my experiences. So therefore, I'm writing organically. So those characters that I'm writing are organic because I know about them. So then when I direct people, I'm bringing that authenticity into it. So that's how my level works at the moment. I'm not working on other people's scripts. That would be a whole different ballgame. And that would need a whole different setup of research and time and effort. Even though I'd still make it my own because I'd probably be connected to those scripts, my integrity and my authenticity comes through with what I do. But I know from your point of view, acting, again, acting in my films versus other films, that you've got a different process, haven't you?
Yeah, so even then there's a different process, not just films, from auditioning to callbacks to booking the role. There's all of those, for me, are different levels of preparation. To kind of start from the beginning, when I get a script through for an audition, sometimes you're lucky enough to have the full script so you can really understand the character, but other times you just have a scene and you don't have any context from it. And the joy of that, I recently learned, is that you can create whatever scenario you want for the reason that scene happened, because you don't know. So there's no right or wrong. For example, if there was a scene, someone watching TV and you don't know what's happened before, you can decide that the person in the scene has just had a huge argument with someone and they're coming to watch TV to calm down. So that's kind of the preparation for auditions. I like creating an atmosphere and creating just those traits that make characters real. Now, when I'm on set and I'm filming, I've read the full script, so I know the character a lot better than just walking in blindly. And that in itself then gets easier because you do know a lot more about that character. But again, it's still using that atmosphere, those traits that make a character human.
Now, what would you say your top two or three favorite characters you've played are?
Oh, that's a good question.
And we were just talking about this earlier because we're like, it's so funny what we end up really loving. And you would never believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, I could also, whilst you're thinking, I could say the characters I like to create for you. I'd like to create...
Make me think of ones that are my favourite.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no.
Well, shall I say characters that I like to write about then?
Yes, you do that and then I'll think of mine.
Okay. Well, obviously, women are an important element of my scripts because I often have lead female protagonists. So a kind of kick-ass, kick-butt female lead, I think, would be good.
Oh, yeah.
And a mum doing that. Not just some of these, you know, young 20-year-olds. You know, a mum, that would be fun. And then also, I created a character that I'd, from travelling with someone, and she was the worst spy in the world. I mean, and I think that's funny. We've had the male version, Johnny English, and I'm making the female version. And so it's making characters that really... that are different to normality, but you're inspired because of who you've seen. And you go, well, that would be a good character. I should push that, make something different. Yeah, what about you, Boo?
I think, for me, performing characters that, like, to go back and think of every character I've done is very challenging because I started at a young age and my memory hadn't completely formed yet. So remembering all of those characters, I'd have to look at my resume to see what to remember. But knowing characters I enjoy playing are the ones that have real gritty stories and aren't just super fortunate, to say that. That I've played characters before where parents are dead and she lives with her brother. And that was a great character to play because it's not me. So I love playing characters that are characters that are different from my life because I get to explore and research and learn lots of new things.
Oh, that's so cool. Want to touch on the book that you're putting together or that you've already written.
That's right, yeah. So it's called Arabella, and I'm actually working on the second one at the moment. But the first one is, it's like Bridget Jones meets the Other Woman. It's a rom-com. You know, it makes you laugh, makes you cry. And it was my therapy, actually, to write it, because I was writing it whilst my divorce was happening, and it was based a lot on what I was going through. And I would go to my friends in the evening and tell her what had happened that day, and she'd laugh. And I'd say, why are you laughing? She'd say, because this is so good. You should be writing this in a book. I can't believe that this is happening and doing it. I was like, okay. So I did. I started to write it. And again, one of those situations where somebody says to me, you know, write this down. So I'm writing it all. And I think, well, I'll get this published, you know. So I put it out there. I wrote a chapter, sent it off to some publishers. And someone comes back and says, yeah, they'd love to see the rest of the book. And I said I'd written it. I hadn't written it properly, but, you know, I'd written all my notes. So quickly, within 2 weeks, I had to finish that book and write it and send it into them. Because, again, if you don't give yourself that goal or make yourself accountable, you don't do it. So I always say, yeah, no, I've got that. I've done that. Yeah, and then quickly go home and go, oh, my God, I better write it. I did that with scripts as well. This guy had said at a meeting, he's like, I told him about two ideas that I've written. I hadn't written them. And he said, I'd love to see those. I said, yeah, no, absolutely. Thinking, well, you know, I've got a couple of months. I'll write them sometime. It was Christmas. I thought, I'll do them when I get back from New Year. And I got an email straight after Christmas saying, looking forward to seeing you at our meeting in a couple of days with those scripts. I was like, oh, God, I better write them. So I got back. I sat on the bed and I didn't move for 2.5 days.
Yep.
I mean, I didn't move. So I wrote so much. I wrote two feature films that my hands froze. They stiffened. I actually caused myself an injury and I couldn't write for a while. I know.
First injury ever recorded from writing.
Yeah. I know. But yeah, the book's great. I'm doing a signing at the Mystic Journey bookstore in Abbot Kinney on the day after my play. Because what else would you do after you directed a play?
Of course.
Let's go there. And then I'm on, I've been on radio stations. I'm up on San Francisco radio station and a TV station up there when the San Francisco Film Festival's happening. So I'm kind of doing that as I go because that's the next film that I'm going to be working on.
Oh, that's so exciting. For you, how do you deal with writer's block?
I don't have it.
Really?
Yeah, I don't get it.
What would you say
I've got too many ideas. I'm like, whoa there.
What would you say for young writers who just sometimes get stumped on a page
Oh, well, if you're just, if it's just about being stumped on a page as opposed to ideas, just move on. Just put that aside and carry on with your next chapter or write something different. Or think why you stumped on that page. Because is it just because you're trying to make that dialogue, perfect? I do what's known as a vomit draft. I just get everything out and it's on there. And it doesn't even need to be any good. I think people perfect themselves too much. Yeah, go on, Boo.
For me, I... obviously, because I write as well, I have experienced writer's block from a point of not just a page, but I'm writing a movie and suddenly just something stops. And I'd suggest for that, what I've found is helpful for me is just to write through it, which people are told, and it sounds crazy. It's like, but that's the problem, is that I can't write. And it's just, even if you're worried that it's not going to be any good, just write a scene, whether it makes sense or not, just keep writing. I find it helps for me. I have multiple scripts that I'm working on at a time. So if I get stuck on one of them, I just move to the next one and continue that one. And then something will happen in my life that I will then go back to that other script that I was stuck on, and that will then come naturally.
Now, do you ever use your mom for inspiration and vice versa? Do you ever go back and forth to each other when you do need help with ideas or you just want to spitball?
Yeah, well, in the beginning when I was writing, I would write stuff and then I'd say, Isabella, can you just write 5 pages for me? This is what's happening in this scene.
And oh, she just would 5 pages? It. Just 5, don't worry about it.
No, she would. And then we'd have that. But the point is that this is not the version you end up with.
Yeah.
And that's what I try to instill in everybody in anything that you do. If you think of this as your baby and your first thing, I can promise you it's not even going to look like that when you finished it. What after you? If it's a film, after you've edited it. If it's, you know, something that you're writing, that script, the book, nothing is going to be how you think it's going to be anyway. So don't worry about it. And I think people worry too much.
Another little anecdote from my book of anecdotes. there's a saying in film, which is the script... you create, the script you write, the script you film, and the script you edit, they are all completely different movies. So they might be the same idea, but they will look completely different from that original idea you had to the one that gets released.
And yeah. Isabella, for you, what's one thing that you've created with your mom where you were just so happy about, and you just know that you couldn't have done it without her?
I'd say the one that comes to my head would be The League of Legend Keepers Shadows, because that was an idea that we'd created and I'd written years before then. And I then met up with another writer who helped me perfect it to whatever perfecting can be. Mm-hmm. And then Mummy directed it for me, that movie, and I acted in it. And to be able to see that those ideas that we'd created together had actually... happened and
come to fruition,
and it is what we'd seen in our heads was what we were seeing on the screen. It was a crazy experience, and I couldn't have done it without her, because she had those same visions that I'd had.
So isn't it cool to see something that you just literally think of and you just do everything you can to make it a reality? That's personally, to me, there's no better feeling. Like this podcast, this was just like an idea.
I was going to say exactly that. Yeah, but you had the strength to go, okay, how can I make this happen? Anything is possible. Someone said to me, excellent advice I've had from this lovely chap, Sean, and he said to me, if everybody has their own Hollywoods, everybody has your own Hollywood. So if I decided with Isabella today to go and use my iPhone and make a film, and she sits there using the editing software on her computer, she's got GarageBand, she writes her own songs, we do voiceovers, we whatever we do, that can be our Hollywood. We can make something that could be just as good as something that you see on the screen, because nowadays you have got the ability to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, 15, 20 years ago, and I don't know if I've just made a random number up there, you didn't have that ability, to buy equipment. I remember I had one of those little flip cameras. Mm-hmm. You know, that was the best that you had. And you'd go around and you'd try, or you'd have to buy the big camera. To have these iPhones now with 4K on is unbelievable. And so therefore, I just think you can do it. You can make things a reality now, which you didn't used to be able to do.
Especially when it comes to film and entertainment. I went to a Spike Lee talk, and this woman raises her hand and she goes, "Spike, I've always wanted to make a movie. What do you suggest I do? What do I need?" And he's like, "Do you have a phone? Do you have a camera on that phone? That's it."
Yeah. But it's about having the story, I think. A lot of people, I've got this one friend I met the other day, and I was just sitting there dumbfounded because he has got all the equipment that you could possibly want. And I said to him, "Why aren't you out making movies?" He said, "Because I don't have any stories." And I'm sitting there going, "Oh my God, I have so many stories. Give me your equipment. I would be making these every minute of every day." And so I think maybe that's a problem. Now, of course, there are stories that are going to be crap and there are stories that are going to be good, but it doesn't matter. Tell a story. If you've got a vision for a scene, just record that scene. You know, just do anything.
So on that note, what was one story for you that you needed to do, that you just, it's the film that you had to do?
Well, oh gosh, that's an interesting one. I like to make a movie that I call for me, and a movie that would be for an audience. So every time you make one that's for an audience, I then know that I can make one for me. And that one is going to be a unique subject matter. I think the one I really want to write, which I incorporated it into the one I just shot, Maybe I'm Fine, is about the stories between a father and a daughter. I find those very interesting from my own experiences, from Isabella's experiences. That subject matter is interesting to me. I also have the stories that I like to tell about the relationship of what a child goes through, because again, teenagers, it's an interesting time. There's a lot of development. So that's the story we're working on. So it's not that I've got stories of, oh, I want to tell stories about a war or things that have happened in history necessarily. It's about personal stories that I have a real passion for.
And then same question to you, you know, when you're writing, what's one story, if you've written it already, or one story that you want to share with everybody?
I think that when I'm writing, I write from a space of so the idea that I have in my head is one that I try and keep throughout the whole thing. So my idea won't change from beginning to end of my script. It might change afterwards and I'll go back in and write it, but in that period of writing that script, my idea, I try and keep it the same so that I don't go kind of off track. But I think for me, the stories that I really, really want to tell are ones that relate personally with my personal experiences. And those are the ones that I want to share with people who have probably gone through the same thing I had, but they didn't have a movie that would be that experience that for them. So they didn't have go, "Oh yeah, that's what happened to me." So I like making movies that people can relate to.
And this opens up a really good spot to transition. We're in such an interesting time, especially in the industry, where, you know, people used to hold back what was going on with them, you know, and now it's preached to no. If something's happening to you, you have to say it. You have to say it, and you have to, you know, you have to let people know what's going on.
Well, social media has obviously been a huge element to that. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that I grew up in was a house of secrets. It was always very, and I think being British as well, things weren't spoken about. This was quiet, what you were feeling, what you were going through, what was happening to you, which is why I am the polar opposite. And I tell everybody everything. I put everything out there because I think if you're laid bare and you're raw, everyone can accept you for who you are then. I don't pretend anything. If someone wants to know something about me, I will tell them. And social media has allowed me to do that. And if something has happened, then yeah, you can tell people. And we're at an interesting time where suddenly that is affecting a lot of people. The problem is it can also go the other way, obviously, which is where is that sense of what is right and what is wrong, where people were telling stories of how they might have been, in inverted commas, abused. Was it just he put a hand on my shoulder? Was it that more happened? You know, where do you draw the line? So I think we're in a very interesting time. I believe that as women, we have a strength behind us at the moment. There is that movement. I don't want to abuse it. I know that some people feel that it is being abused as well. You know, again, it can go the other way. It's a very sensitive time for us all. But again, if we can keep integrity, if we can keep a sense of reality, things are changing. That is good. But let's keep things in perspective. I have a daughter. I'm going to make sure that she is able to speak the truth. Tell me if things are happening, speak up. But she's also very aware of how social media can go wrong and be abusive and go against you. And I think she's fortunate that she hasn't been bullied on social media. She isn't in that environment where this happens yet. So I'll be interested to see where things go in the future, in all honesty.
Yeah, it's one of those just kind of dark hallways. You don't know what's at the end there. But it's such an interesting time to be, especially in this industry, because it's good and it's bad, you know.
I think it's about equality now. That's what it's about. It's not about saying you're a man, I'm a woman, I should get this, you shouldn't. It's about equality. And that's a reasonable statement. And if we all keep a reasonable concept of that, like I don't believe that certain people, if you're a man and a woman, should get paid different amounts if you're doing the same job.
Yeah.
I believe that somebody, if they're better, whether they're the woman or the man, if that's what they're doing and that's their deal, fine, they get paid more. Again, there's just common sense. You have to keep common sense in this.
There was this video that I saw online the other day, and it was
it with the kids? Yeah,
and
it was
good. It was of these little kids. They were different, three sets of ages. There was there were 4-year-olds, 7-year-olds, and 10-year-olds, and each couple of kids was a boy and a girl. And they were in this room, and there were like those balls that you get in the ball pits, and there was...
They basically had to do the same job, didn't they?
Yes, but there were these pink and blue balls, and they had to say, put the pink ones in this vase, put the blue ones in this one. And these kids, they worked together, they did it, and at the end, they said, close your eyes, now you get a reward. And they were given, like, tall glasses with candy in them. Now, the boy got a glass that was overflowing with candy, and the girl got only half a glass. And... The people who'd given them the glasses didn't say anything. They waited for the kids' reaction. And basically, both of the kids agreed that the girl shouldn't have gotten less candy because they both did the exact same work. And they ended up sharing the candy. But it really showed that young kids have that mentality that they know that equality is what should happen. If you're doing the same work, you should both get the same thing.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it's just not how everyone thinks. Yeah. We're definitely moving in that right direction. And I mean, there's so many movements that are helping that.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, what do you see happening? This is more for you, Elizabeth.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a vast question, but I mean, first of all, I just want to check, am I getting paid the same amount as Isabella for being on this podcast?
Well, you know, we talked to Isabella's agent and you know, they just kind of cut a better deal. So.
Oh, okay, then. Never mind. Well, maybe the dog's getting paid more than me.
Yeah, Chai's getting paid a lot.
Yeah, she is, to sit here lap quietly. It is so difficult to predict any future because I think it's so erratic at the moment. With being in the UK and here, we've both got people that are in charge of our countries that are majorities aren't fans of anymore. They voted them in and now things are changing. So you've got these big political figures that are making a difference, making statements. Who knows what's going to happen with them? I mean, and then you've got extremists who are coming in and are wanting to alter things. All I can say is I think the current state of where we live, the current climate, allows people to voice opinions. And that is a good thing. Obviously, some people can get slated for that. And you have to be prepared for backlash. I mean, I'm sure I'm always going to get backlash from the things that I'm doing and the things that I'm saying, because not everyone's going to agree with it. And it could be something as simple as my homeschooling. When I first started to homeschool Isabella, I got parents that really were quite horrible about it. They thought I was abusing my child. You know, yeah, I know. By the way, wow. Seth just did a look, everybody. a surprise look. But you do. So you have to be prepared for that. We're in a society where we can have opinions. We're in a society where we can make things change. But there will be backlashes. How far this will go, I don't know. I hope technology actually almost, not reverses, but I do worry about the way social media is affecting young people, and I think it's unhealthy. I do wish we would go back to, let's read a book. Yeah. Let's go back to some things were the good old days. That mm-hmm. simplicity. Technology's fantastic. We're heading, look at us sitting here now doing this podcast. I'm going to go and shoot a film on my iPhone. That's great. But what makes us who we are, I think that's where technology and the future is. It's not quite right yet.
And I think that it's not just saying, to kind of separate it, that it's the tech. Because I think the technology is great. I think it's the social media aspect of it.
Or it's the way people are using it.
Yes.
It's the way society hasn't yet been taught how to deal with that. That's not my throat, by the way. That's the dogs.
<She's sneezing. laughs> And just to say about to go back to kind of where the future is going, I think, like Mummy said, it's hard to predict how everything's going to change because, again, another anecdote from my book of anecdotes, everything's a sliding door situation. So will you go almost, it's like a fork in the road. Will you go to the left? Will you go to the right? So you can predict if you go here, you'll get to this point. But then again, if you go to the other side, you get to another point. And everything's changing and there are always so many different opportunities that you can't say what's going to happen because you might think what's going to happen based on what's happening now.
Yeah, did anyone think Trump was going to get in? I mean, seriously, sorry, everybody's listening. I'm not going to give a political speech, but that's just, yeah. he's a businessman.
But then that's based on, again, going back to what I was saying at the beginning when he started to run, people thought Hillary was going to get in because she was a woman and it was that time period. But everything changed because something happened in the universe. It was a fork in the road. Someone went left when we thought they were going to go right. And it's so difficult to think what's going to happen because we can think what's going to happen based on what's happening now.
And if I could predict that, then what I would do is I'd predict a winner at the race course and then I could fund my own films.
Oh my gosh, we'd be hanging out a lot.
And then using race course, who knows, something could happen to the horse that something might not.
All right, you're not going to bet on my horse then.
Don't tell Isabella who you're betting for.
Yeah, let's not take her with us to the race course, Seth.
With that being said, what do you think's going to happen in the future with celebrities who want political chairs or political positions? I think it opens up the door for them.
Well, I like the fact that anybody can do it. I do think that's a good thing. I do. Obviously, it allows, you know, we've got on our side with the royal family, mm-hmm. Meghan Markle marrying Prince Harry. That's so cool. I love that, okay? I really love that. Even Kate Middleton, she's termed a commoner. You know, she's not from royalty. I have to say I embrace that. I don't mind that because to me, as a little girl, you're there going, wow, anything can happen. Mm-hmm. I believe that I could be the next James Cameron, the next Steven Spielberg. Obviously, there are certain rules and regulations like, Isabel, I'm afraid you can't be the president of the United States because you weren't born here. Yeah. So there are certain elements like that.
That could change.
It could.
We're just, you never know.
He's not letting anyone in the country, is he? Things are possible. So I like that. But I do think, again, let's say someone like Oprah, obviously people are saying she could be, I'm up for that. I think that's good.
Too.
But as long as there's substance to her, not just because she is a celebrity, but there is substance. She's an incredibly intelligent, highbrow woman. Goodness me, who really does know the people? Just because she has celebrity status, that doesn't matter. That's just going to help her cause. So no, I think anybody can do anything. I mean, Isabella flies a Cessna 172. Mm-hmm. She is going to be a private pilot. as well as all the other things. Why can't she? Why shouldn't she?
Yeah.
Why not?
Right.
Yeah. I haven't been up with her yet, though, I have to say.
Well,
that's not because you don't think I'm safe at flying. My mother doesn't like flying at all in any plane. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So.
Well, let's go back for one second and let everyone know what we're talking about. You flew a plane.
Yes.
She has flying lessons.
Yeah, so on my 13th birthday, I got my first flying lesson because since a very young age, I've wanted to be able to fly a plane because I love to travel, so I've grown up on planes traveling the world. Fortunate enough to be able to say that. And when I started flying on my first lesson, I was in the classroom, we were talking about going up in the plane, and my mum was like, "You do know she hasn't flown before?" And they were like, yeah, it's all right, she'll be in the pilot seat and we'll go up. And she's like, "But you do know she hasn't flown before?" So on my first lesson, I took off and I landed.
And thank gosh she landed, people.
Yes. Wow.
It was a very worrying hour.
So when are you taking your mum up?
Well, I'm fine with her coming up anytime, but it's more of a question, Mummy, when will you come up in my plane?
Well, I think I'll let everybody else go up first. I mean, I have to say, I don't mind the Cessnas. I actually prefer them, funnily enough, to massive jumbo jets. I can't stand that because it's just like, why, how? How is that in the air? It is an impossibility. So I don't mind them. And I like little seaplanes as well because it's just not so far to fall.
That's a good point.
You know, I don't want to be 41,000 feet up in the air or however many feet it is. How high does it go on a big plane?
A big plane?
Yeah. What's that number go up to when you're watching the screen?
I have to think about it.
It goes past 32,000, I think. But I don't know. I'm just not a fan of it. And I always have Chai as an excuse. Chai's my dog. And so I'm able to say, you go up, Isabella, have a nice time, and I'll see you in a couple of hours.
Well, I think you're more likely to come up when I get my actual license when I'm 17.
Yeah, I know. It's not about your age. No, it's not about your age.
No. I mean, 17 is when I can get my license.
Yeah, but it's still not about that. I still don't like it. I don't like flying.
Are you going to get a flying license before you get a driving license?
Well, it was looking like that, but it'll be my driving license the year before I get my pilot's license.
But in England, it's not. In England, you have to drive a year later. So that's why we thought she was going to. But over here, she can drive first.
What's the legal driving limit or driving age in?
17.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't do anything before then.
You get your
then.
Permit at 17, license at 18. And over here, it's 15 and a half. Amazing.
Isn't the drinking age 16?
18.
18.
Yeah. Because that makes sense. Right. Let's give you a driving license and you can drink. Yeah. Let's see what happens on the roads now.
Going from England to France to Spain, everything's different, right? When it comes to driving, what age you're able to drink, and all that stuff.
On the side of the road is different. We're random. In England, we drive on the wrong side. Everybody else drives on the correct side. America and Europe, you're all on the right. The drinking, I think they're a wee bit more lax about it being 16, but I don't think that's the legal age. I think it's still 18, yes. I believe, but I might be wrong.
I think in some families in Europe, using France, because wine is huge in France, that the families are more okay with a glass of wine at a younger age, like 16 or 17. But the actual age, if you were to go and buy alcohol, is 18.
Yeah, I think it's still the same, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, I know our time's kind of like coming short here, but I do want to ask both of you, you know, what's the one thing you would tell people who are just going for it, because you're obviously going for it and I can see it through your eyes, your faces, that you love what you're doing. It's so inspiring.
Yeah, well, I love this question, actually, because it's impossible to give just a one answer, because it is about working towards something. So there are stages, I think. But if you're at the very beginning and you're sitting there thinking, gosh, I'd love to just do that, I don't know how to, it's three simple words. It is just do it. Because it's about saying, in whatever way you can, whether it's making a podcast, you know, speak into your iPhone, do a voice memo, just practice, just do something. If it's about writing, set up a blog. Write blogs on Facebook. Everyone's got Facebook pages. If it's about making a film, use your iPhone. It's about doing something, no matter how small it is. That would be my advice.
My advice for just going out and doing it and just being able to do what you love is kind of piggybacking off what you said earlier, is that there's the technology now to do everything that you could possibly want, not just in the film industry. There's music, there's free music production services on computers and phones. If that's what you're interested in, there's just so many ways to do everything now that there isn't an excuse for not doing
it. Yeah, well, even making a site.
Yeah.
You know, Isabella and I are working on our MD Entertainment, Mother and Daughter Entertainment, and I said to Isabella, can you make a site for us? And she did, because you can do that now. You have to be self-taught. So it's just about having that belief in it. If you really want to do it, you can. There are no excuses.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's where technology comes back to almost how great it is nowadays, is because you have that ability to do anything.
Wow. Mm. That's so inspiring.
Well, we can't be that inspiring because Chai's asleep. Chai's snoring on the table.
She is.
Chai, do you speak English?
No, you know she's an American dog.
No, she's Chai the Russian spy.
Yeah, she is.
She has an Instagram. She's at Chai the Russian spy with underscores instead of spaces.
You have to check her out. Yeah, she's adorable.
She's awesome.
Absolutely adorable. Yeah. Well, just to end here, we've all worked on a film called Sand Angels. It's being distributed.
And it's beautiful, and it won lots of awards, and Seth won an award too.
Yep. Woo! No, it was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful working with both of you. And I know that Elizabeth, you're working on a few things right now, and then you're just crazy busy every day, just on set. So.
But people can follow us. I'm always our websites are our names. Elizabeth Blake Thomas, isabellablakethomas.com. Our Instagrams are at Elizabeth_B_T and at Isabella_B_T.
And our Twitters are the same.
Yeah, you can email us. I mean, you know, just feel free to contact us for anything. It's all about being part of a community.
And we have knowledge from what we've done and what we know. And if we've got this knowledge, we can use it to help us, but we like using it to help other people as well, so that they can learn what we know.
And
continue to.
If there are people that would like to share their knowledge with us, we're always up for hearing that.
But yeah, contact us on either of our websites or social media, because we love helping people do what they love.
Do it, people. Do it. They are absolutely wonderful. You have to do it. Well, hey, ladies, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank
really
you so
appreciate
much for having
it.
Us.
And
thank
we need
you.
To do this again at some point.
I'd
this
love
was wonderful.
To. I'd love to.
Thank you so much for listening to the second episode of my podcast. I really hope you enjoyed it. Please feel free to reach out to me on any social media platform. You can do so on Facebook. Just find Seth Markson. For Instagram, at Seth Markson. That's at SethMarkZon. For Twitter, at SMarkZon. That's at S Markson. If you'd like to reach out to Isabella, you can do so on Twitter or Instagram. The handle's the same. At @ISABELLA_B_T. That's at @Isabella_B_T. For Elizabeth, you can do so at @Elizabeth_B_T. That's at @ELIZABETH_B_T. Thank you so much. I have more guests and more great conversation to be had. Definitely looking forward to the next episode. Thanks. Bye.